Jude verse 21, the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We've talked about this verse once before, but I'd like to expand on a thought from this passage. Jude verse 21 says in the first part, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So he gives that passage to us as instruction. He gives that passage to us as a charge. He tells us, this is what you need to do. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And I really believe with this group that's gathered here tonight, that's your desire. I really believe that. It's my desire. It's my desire for myself. It's my desire for you. But you know, we ought to have some way to gauge whether in fact we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. Because we know as people that our affection for one another, for spouses, for children, for friends, for a job, for the Lord, for the words of God, can wax stronger and it can wane. We know that. So we ought to have some way to be able to measure ourselves or gauge whether or not we are keeping ourselves in the love of God, because if we're not, the consequences could be very bad. We want to have a way to check up on ourselves and make sure that we're not growing a little bit cold, a little bit stale, a little bit lax in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God. So how do we do that? How can we know that we are keeping ourselves in the love of God? And I think the Bible shows us that there are four good ways. I'm sure you can think of others, but there are four definite ways that we can check up on ourselves to make sure that we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. And the first is, you know that you're keeping yourself in the love of God because you love God. Because you love God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And notice what he says. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That shows us that the love of God is reciprocal. He starts it and then we return it. We love him because he first loved us. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So it's natural when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God takes up residence inside of you, God takes up residence inside of me, and he is love, that there should be something in us from the love of God that then permeates back to our love for him. There's a word that Paul uses in Corinthians, and it has to do with giving and then redounding to thanksgivings, many thanksgivings unto God. And a preacher one time explained that redound is not the same as rebound. You know what a rebound is? You throw the basketball up against the backboard and then somebody makes a rebound if it doesn't go in the hoop. But if you've ever hit tennis balls against a wall or thrown a ball up against a wall to catch it, it never comes back with the same force that was applied to it when it left your hand. It comes back with less force. There's some energy lost in that. It rebounds and it diminishes in its strength. Redound, the preacher said, actually increases so that as God loves you and you love him back, there's the sense that his love for you grows stronger, is a sense, and that your love for him grows stronger. It redounds to more love to him, the more you're in the love of God. And that's what it should do. Our love for him should grow with time being loved by the Lord. But you know something? Our love for God and our love for the things of God will wane when we don't keep ourselves in the love of God. Our love for Him loses some of its energy, some of its force, when we don't keep ourselves in the love of God. So I think I preached on this text once not too long ago and described it sort of like being in the shower under the flow of the nozzle. You know, you keep yourself in the love and then you have more love to give. You say, well, preacher, I'm not one of those whose love for God loses force and strength. Well, then you're an exception. You've sung the song with me, "Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings," right? And you know what it says? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave, the Lord I got, the Lord I love. There's a natural tendency that if we don't keep ourselves in the fervency of His love, it'll cool off. It'll cool off. So we can check up on ourselves. If our love for God is neutral, if our love for God is not growing, if it's plateaued or it's cooled off a little bit, then you can tell that you are not keeping yourself in the love of God to the same degree that you did at some prior time in your Christian life. I suppose every person here that got saved had such a strong, earnest love for the Lord the day, you know, right after that time, because you were so overcome by the fact that He had forgiven you and that He chose to forget all of your sins and that He'd given you eternal life. And you're like, wow, God's the greatest. But, you know, all of a sudden life starts happening, right? Things kind of cool off. Our love for God grows when the more we keep ourselves in the love of God. And you know, you say, well, God is, I can't see Him and I can't feel Him and He's intangible. I can't just reach out and touch Him like I can a person. So you can look at other things that are associated with God and know whether or not you're cooling off. For instance, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, those verses tell us that we are to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And that we set our affection on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, it's easy for us to become more concerned about the things that are in the world than the things that are going on in heaven. And once that affection for things here begins to become predominant in our lives, you get up in the morning, you know, the first thing you want to do is check the news, or maybe in the recent couple of weeks, the weather, or the economy, or whatever. You start going there first to correspondence, text, emails, and you spend a little time there and less time in the book. Something is happening to the strength of your love for God. It's beginning to, worldly matters and concerns are beginning to creep in just a little bit. And you know how they are. I'm telling you, these worldly concerns, give them an inch and they take a mile. You get more and more concerned about those matters. And hey, I do as well. That's why we have to check up on ourselves and look at that. Do I anticipate my time with the Lord in the morning or evening, if that's your schedule, with the same zeal and interest and vigor and fervency as I did at some prior time in my life? If not, you're cooling off. And you got to be careful with that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, he said. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 in verse 167, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." I love them exceedingly. Well, that would indicate then, as you keep yourself in the love of God, you keep yourself in the Word of God. But if you find that your interest in the words of God, your affection for the words of God has cooled off a little bit, you're not close enough, you're not in His love enough, Because keeping yourself in the love of God redounds to more love for Him. That's why I like to sing those songs like, "More Love to Thee, O God." We need to measure up on ourselves and check up, make sure that we're not easing off. You know, when you start sensing, not until you're full blown, when you start sensing affection for the things of the world, when you start waning in your time with the Lord in the book, you're drifting from the love of God. Something else has entered in. It's a little bit like a child eating candy before supper. Just doesn't quite have the same interest in that broccoli as he did when he didn't have that sugar rush, right? Before. That's why you say, you'll say it. You can't eat that piece of pie right now, son. That'll ruin your appetite for supper. You've said it that way. Same thing. You get a little bit of that world in there and it'll ruin your appetite for the words of God. And when that happens, it's an indication that you're not keeping yourself in the love of God to the same degree perhaps that you had at some other time in your life. You want to check up on yourself, say, I got to draw closer in love to God. And I've found when you are intentional in your love for God, you'll be more intentional in your time with Him in prayer, in your time with Him in the book. You look forward to being able to talk with Him and go over things with Him, and other things just don't seem to have the same interest as they used to in your life. Now, there are some things you've lost interest in and you'll never regain that interest, but there are other things that'll challenge your interest from time to time. Well, when those things are creeping in, that's the time for you to get back in that walk with the Lord stronger. Keep yourselves, He said, in the love of God, to command. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You say, well, that's what I'm going to do. And I have found out in my old life, you know, I'm not just quite as interested in that time with the Lord as I had been at another time in my past. All right, then draw close again. Draw close again. How do we know? How can we check up on ourselves and know whether we're keeping ourselves in the love of God? First of all, because you can tell by how you love God and whether it's getting stronger than it was last year and stronger than it was 5 years ago, whether it's kind of cooled off a little bit. Here's a second way you can tell. You can tell and you can check up on yourself whether you're keeping yourself in the love of God by how you love the brethren, because you love the brethren. You're in 1 John chapter 4. Look with me at verse 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now let's look at that again. Beloved, in verse 11, 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is, what are the next three words? Perfected in us. Oh, that's something then. We can check up on our love for God and whether we're keeping ourselves in the love of God by how we feel toward each other. This is a highly emotional day and age in which we live. A lot of people riding roller coasters of ups and downs in the way they feel about things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the intensity of your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, if we love one another, in verse 12, God dwelleth in us, and His love is, say it with me again, perfected in us. If it's slipping back, if it's waning a little bit, that's not an indication that your brother or your sister is getting harder to love. We're hard enough to love as it is. It's an indication that you're slipping in your love for God, principally. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Well, it's a commandment. You know, I have found this to be true. And it's easier to love when I love God more. And she ain't as easy to love when I love God less. I used to think it was her. Till I realized, you stay close to God, it's easy to stay close to each other. Yeah, it is. You know, we've been so fortunate, and I thank God for this in our church, that we hadn't had one of those rifts that tears churches apart. We've just been so blessed, and I pray about that all the time. So blessed. But I'll tell you, what keeps us together is, I got to love you, man. And if I stay close to God and His love for me, I can love you. You're easy to love when I'm in God's love. People have said about the ministry, I've heard preachers say this, and it's just kind of kidding sometimes, sort of seriously. They said the ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. But that's not really a laughing matter if the consequence of the difficulty lies within your heart. If we're waning in our love for God, it's going to be hard to get along with each other. We're different. But as we stay close to God, it's easy to love those whom He loves. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 16. We're saying we got to check up on ourselves, see how we're doing in the love for God department. Here's one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Man, that means that the love of God is visual, it's perceptible. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I'll tell you what, sometimes that verse is misinterpreted, and the guy will read it, we ought to lay out the life of our brother. I guarantee you, man, I was in a church one time, and a deacon got crosswise with somebody else in the foyer, and all of a sudden you heard whop, and got to look out there, and the deacon is still standing, and the brother's out on the ground. Got him right in the kisser, man. In Jesus' name. He said, what in the world? How in the world could a thing like that happen? You draw away from God, it can happen. You stay close to God, and there's something of His love for us that permeates your being and then draws you into a loving relationship with each other. What did the Lord say? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, you know, that's pretty great sacrifice. They do it in the military. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, we're all called soldiers of the cross. The great honor in the military is to take the bullet for your, right? For your comrade. They honor men and women that do that. And we are not soldiers in the military, we're soldiers of the cross. And we have the love of God in us that many that are in the military don't have. They have love for country. They have love for their teammates. That's a solid thing. You've got one up on that. You got love of God. And there's nothing that can surpass that at all. As you grow in your love for God, you grow in your love for each other. And as your love for each other is waning, if it is, then check yourself, because you may find that you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. You sort that out and deal with that first. You may find that, oh, so-and-so wasn't so bad after all. Now, I'll tell you what, and I saw it today. I've seen it more than today, but I see it today because I'm aware we had visitors here. And we're there and we're here. This is a definite, this love of God that's in us that is then shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost for one another. I'll tell you what, it's a definite testimony to the world, because they have nothing like this. They have camaraderie, they have fraternity, but they don't have the love of God, not unless they're saved. That's unique. It is the command of God. He said, I'm going to give you a commandment. That's what Jesus said. I'm only going to give you one, but this one's going to be a good one. He said, new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. That's what he said. As I have loved you, love one another. So he gave us the example. He's done it. Now we can do it. That you also love one another. And what's the benefit? John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And I heard people comment today, and I can comment myself. I saw that in action today. I've seen it. But like I said, recognizing that we had visitors here sensitive to the what they may see and what they may experience while they're here, I thought to myself, I'm seeing something that God does with His children. That's a beautiful thing. But you want to keep yourself in the love of God. That's a high point, what we saw today. But next week, as one of the testimonies, how does the service go ordinarily when you're not having a big day? Well, it goes like today when the love of God is here. Yes, it does. That's a testimony to the world, and it's just something that we want to be sure that never stops, never ceases. Stay close to God, stay close to each other. The further and further this world gets away from God, the more we're going to need each other. We need friends. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians a letter, and it's fabulous because every chapter of 1 Thessalonians deals with something concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he wrote them another letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he said, the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. From the first time that he wrote to him till the second time that he wrote to him, he saw growth in their love for each other. That's what we want. Aboundeth. Why? It's a testimony. Listen, not only is it a testimony to the world, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another, but don't you know the smile it puts on God's face? That's really something. He looked down there and see what's going on here, and he could smile and say, all my children are getting along. That's a good thing. All my children are getting along. How can you tell how you're doing in this department of keeping yourself in the love of God? Well, you can check it out by your love for God. Will you love Him fervently and that love is growing? You're keeping yourself, in the love of God. It's coming from Him. How you doing? When we love each other and that love for each other is growing, you know that you're keeping yourself in the love of God, because it should grow. It should grow. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 17 if you have to turn the page. 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 17. How do we know if we're keeping ourselves in the love of God? Look at verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good? Well, we certainly do. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How can we tell if we're keeping ourselves in the love of God? Because we open up our bowels of compassion when we see a brother in need. You see how it is? He says, if you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, it doesn't dwell well. Doesn't dwell well, because that's not how God is. God always saw the need when Jesus Christ was here, and he was moved with compassion and did something about that. He healed, he fed, he consoled. That's how Jesus did it, and he's in us and we're in him. And when we keep ourselves in the love of God, that love then permeates through us. And something stirs your heart and says, I've got to do something about that right there. I've got to relieve that need. I've got to meet that burden. You know, we're not only ready and willing to meet the need, but we also do it. I'm reflecting on our business meeting that we just had Wednesday night, and I look at what you did as a church for missions. How many people were tangibly helped all over the world with transportation, with buildings, with Bibles and tracts, with evangelistic outreach, with personal needs, with widowhood, an orphanage, and sickness. You stepped up, said, we got to do something about that. I just say, what do y'all want to do? And you let's do this. And that's what we did. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know something? Keep yourselves in the love of God as our country goes deeper in debt. As inflation continues to rise. As more uncertainty accompanies our future. We're going to need to continue to do what we've done. You might get scared and say, well, better hold on to that. You don't know what the future may bring. I'll tell you what, you don't want to ever shut up the bowels of compassion when you have brothers in need. You say, why? Because when the love of God dwells in you, it opens up your bowels of compassion. When your bowels of compassion close and shut up, he says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see, God's not like that. Jesus never had anything. I mean, he didn't come here with a Rolls Royce and a bag full of gold, did he? He came in here, how'd he come in here? He came in here as a naked little baby in a manger. How did he leave here as a or when he died as a naked man hanging on a cross? He didn't show up here with possessions. He showed up here with compassion. And what did his father do? He multiplied everything that Jesus Christ did to heal people and to feed people and to take care of those needs. What got that rolling was his compassion. Where did that come from? It came from God Almighty. Check up on your love. You say, how am I doing in this department of loving God? If I've become selfish and everything I own is now in my reservoir and I have shut all of what I own with a dam so none can flow out, something's gone wrong in your relationship with the Lord. Yeah. Paul said what motivates our giving is our love for God. He said to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, I want you Corinthians to go on now and do what you said you were going to do and prove, he said, the sincerity of your love. Prove it. How? By going on and giving. You do that. Now, it is the nature of this church. You started out that way. Before we were, while we were still a mission, we started taking on missionaries. First missionary that you took on as a church in December of 2000, while we were still in the bunkhouse and a mission of First Bible Baptist Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, was Jeff and Debbie Williams. And you support them to this day. That's a wonderful thing. You know how many years that's been? That's been over 25 years. And I look at all that and I say, you know what? It takes the church's compassion for them and it takes our individual compassion for the things of God. I'll tell you this, the more you love God, the more you want to do for God on behalf of others. It's the way it goes. It just flows that way. So check up on your own. How's my love for God right now? Said, well, I used to want to kind of help these folks out, but right now, these days, I sort of like to hang on to what I got. I feel more comfortable with it in my pocket than in theirs. Check your heart. Check your time with God. You may find that you're cooling down on the keeping yourself in the love of God, and that's what has gotten you to be frigid in your desire to help others who have needs. You understand? How can we tell how we love, how we're doing in this, keeping ourselves in the love of God? Well, because we love God. because we love the brethren, because we open up our bowels of compassion. I think about those poor single women getting pregnant over there in Mongolia that find out they have babies and they want to do what the other mothers have done and go to the clinic where they can abort that baby, and they find out about those pro-life centers that you have helped support. And they go over there and they learn about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved, decide they want to keep that baby. And then then Harbor Evangelism has set up an orphanage, so if they cannot afford to keep that baby, they just don't think they can raise that child properly, the orphanage can take that child in its infancy and help them till they get placed in foster families. You're helping with that. You help foot the bill on that. I think about those little orphan kids in Vietnam whom we've seen. Dad is dead, mother's gone off to marry another man, grandparents can't even afford to take care of themselves. And you've built them houses. And you've supplied funds for their care. And they go to school. And by the time they're 18, they own their own house. And they got an education and they can support themselves. And they were the off-scouring of society. And now they're saved and they'll be your brothers and sisters in Christ. You help that. And I think about those poor people there in Egypt that they go after with the blankets and with the baskets and with the school supplies. And you help pay for that. And you're going to see them in heaven. Don't ever shut your bowels of compassion. You say, well, I don't know, but things are kind of tightening up. Just get closer to Jesus Christ and things will open up for you again. That's what changes that. It's your love for God, not the size of your purse. How do we know if we're keeping ourselves in the love of God? Well, I'll give you one more, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I don't know about you, but I want a measuring stick on that. If I'm not doing well, I want to know that. If I'm in school, I have to take tests from time to time, see if I'm keeping up in the subject matter. If I find on these quizzes that things are going down, I can anticipate I'm not going to do well on the final. But those are good for you. Those tests. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 27. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said, I'm going to tell you what to do here. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Oh, brother. Now you're gone from preaching to meddling. Let's bring this message to a close. Now I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. You see, what we're talking about is keeping yourself in the love of God. Well, look what God does. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. He said, see, he's the one that started it. He's the one that was kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's the one that was merciful to the unmerciful. And he says, I want you to do that. Love your enemies. Well, how am I doing in keeping myself in the love of God? I can tell if I'm doing well because of my love for the lost. Those are the enemies of the cross right now. They may not even like you talking to them about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, you know the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Well, you know what's in the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here is a rich ruler that came to Jesus. You remember the story. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Well, you know the commandments, and Jesus gives him 6 or 7 commandments. You know, like, honor thy father and thy mother, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't kill, that kind of stuff. He goes, all these have I kept from my youth up. Which did he leave out? Number 1 and number 10. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not covet. And the Bible says, while Jesus Christ is talking to this man, before the man has made up his mind whether he's going to get rid of his possessions or not, the Bible says Jesus loved him. And the guy's getting ready to walk away from following Jesus Christ with the promise that if he would give his possessions to the poor, he'd have treasure in heaven and eternal life. And the Bible says Jesus loved him. That's an amazing thing. I found something to be true. The greater our love for the Lord, our greater our love for those who don't know him yet. You ever notice that? You say, I don't know if I could talk to him. None of us is comfortable talking to somebody else about religion and politics. That's the way they see it. Not immediately. But I want to tell you something. When you love God, there is something in you that constrains you by the love of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. The love of Christ constrains me, Paul said. I'd say you demonstrated this today with all your effort in the buffet and inviting guests. Some of you invited guests and they didn't come. You're disappointed. You know what? I'm disappointed for you because I know you wanted them to be here. And they even gave you enough of an indication that you fully expected them to be here and you were sad that they didn't come. And I'm sad with you. But don't quit loving them over that. We had a couple that came here today that we've known for 10 years and invited to a variety of these things. And she and he came today, sat with us over there, and then came in here and sat over here and walked out of here, both of them with tears in their eyes and a New Testament in their hand. And if I believe what I saw and what they said and Jesus in their heart, don't give up on them. You stay close to the Lord and keep loving Him, you'll just keep loving them. And eventually, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You'll have another opportunity. Just keep loving them. Why? Because there's nobody else in the world that will love them the way that God will love them through you. And eventually, they're going to catch on. That means something to them. And I've watched people absolutely determined against the gospel, absolutely determined against a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to hang on to their religion. And I've watched the love of God break that heart over a period of time by just soft, gentle expressions of the love of God. And today they're saved and on their way to heaven. Don't get discouraged about that. Say they don't like Jesus Christ. Well, they may not like him right now, but I believe in time they're going to come around. Paul wasn't very fond of Jesus Christ last time I checked. Boy, he sure changed his mind after he got to know him. You know, just keep on loving them and keep on being available to minister to them with the love of God. You say, if you ever lose your desire, if you ever lose your burden, if you ever lose your love for the lost, it's not them. What's happened is we're not keeping ourselves in the love of God. You get close to God and compassion starts to flow from inside out, and whether you like it or not, you want to do something to help them. Paul told us that we should seek to do good. We should seek those opportunities. I'll tell you how he put it. He put it like this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We just keep demonstrating that love of God that comes from God through us to them. And after a while, it's kind of like, you know, you're kind of different than everybody else I know. And not in a bad way. How am I doing in that department? Well, it's kind of like when the kids, if you had one of those little deals, you measured up every time they grew a little bit. You know, here they were at 4, and here's where they were at 5. And you always hope you never have to do this, but one day they're a full-grown teenager, and you got to put the mark above your head. That's a measurement to see how they're doing. Listen, if that line is, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's always at the same level, something is wrong with your kid. And same way in that love of God, that thing ought to be marking up higher and higher. as you measure up. And there are going to be those seasons when it wanes and when it does. It's going to be, you're going to see it manifested in one of these four things that we've talked about tonight. And when you see that, just draw yourself back up closer to the Lord there again. And when you get closer to Him, then you'll watch those marks start coming back up on the measure. And that's what you want. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to say today, I saw with my eyes evidence of the love of God in you. It put a big smile on my face. Keep it up. Don't wane. Stay with it. Keep yourself there. Check up on yourself from time to time. Stay good. For Jesus' sake. Father, thank you so much for what you've shown us in the Scripture, and thank you so much for these folks, us, this church. Thank you so much for your love for us, and that the remedy for the things we've discussed today is just to get back to you. Get in that love. Father, thank you for loving us so much that your love for us never wanes. Always draw us back. Like we sang in the song, getting ready for the service tonight. Draw me nearer, 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 Lord. We want to stay close to you in your love. Help us all for Jesus' sake. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.